welcome back Behind the Paranormal with Paul and Ben Eno. It's the beginning of our second hour and our two-hour monthly special. And our distinguished guest today is Eddie Benitez, legendary jazz guitarist, visionary, and certainly a paranormal expert of an interesting kind here. We're talking about all sorts of things, and Ben is signaling to me.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to finish what you were saying.
Okay.
Eddie, got a question for you about those angel experiences you had. You just want to talk about those a little more?
Yeah, like I'm curious too about people seeing angels on the stage when you perform. Can you tell us about the various angel experiences of that kind?
Well, we did a corporate show about 6 years ago, and that's when people claimed they were seeing angels on stage. We had people fainting in the audience, mystified. Security came over on the side of the stage, and I asked what was going on, and he told me, informed me what was going on. So, you know, we do have experiences of angels and spirits of the good kind on my stage while I perform. And I hope that everybody who comes to one of my concerts, you know, will experience that and feel peace and love and have the experience of Jesus looking at them and loving them and the angels around them.
Uh-huh. Well, I want to ask you where you're going to be performing to before we end. But I did have, of course, a few more questions here. Have you ever had any other paranormal experiences? You know, we sometimes find cases will lead into other areas of the paranormal. It'll look like something like ghosts, and it'll end in leading into UFOs or Bigfoot sightings sometimes or whatever. Have you ever had any other paranormal experiences besides your positive experiences and your negative experiences from your Arizona home?
Well,
have you ever seen a UFO or the Phoenix Lights or anything like that?
No, I didn't see the Phoenix Lights. I don't believe they existed.
I've seen them.
When I was married back in the 80s, my wife used to visit this lady who used to go to places like Santeria.
Okay.
And when she used to come back upstairs, she became possessed a few times.
Oh, yeah, that's not good stuff.
No, she lifted me up on the wall and just lifted me up on the wall, you know, rolled me up kind of.
Yeah.
And she was only like 5'1", 5'2", and she had the strength of like 10 men.
Mm-hmm.
And that was weird. And luckily at that time, my mother was there also, so my mother got rid of that, you know?
All right.
But throughout my everyday life, I see things, I hear things, and you know what? It's normal for me.
Okay. What about out-of-place creatures, I mean, things that would not obviously be, I suppose, spiritual in that sense? What's your opinion of Bigfoot or Mothman or any of these things that have come forth as cryptozoology, you might say? Or do you have an opinion on it?
Well, my opinion is, show me. You know, basically, the Mothman, Bigfoot, UFOs, all of that, you know what? Nobody has shown any evidence that they exist. Not one piece of evidence, okay? They say that Area 51 is a housing place. There's aliens and flying saucers and all that. You know what? Area 51 is just the diversion for where the government really creates their high-tech stuff, which is somewhere in Utah.
Well, that's what I thought until I was chased across the desert on the road nearest to Area 51 by government agents. Anyway,
they have tests going on there, but their bigger tests are conducted in Utah.
Yeah,
and that's basically air flight and things like that. You know, you got to remember that Adolf Hitler had a design and had scientists that had built a flying saucer type ship.
Supposedly, yeah.
That's very true.
All right, you got to remember, people. You know, people think in general that UFO aliens from another planet are intelligent life. They're going to come here and save us and all of this. You know what? We have intelligent life on Earth. Tesla.
Hmm.
He was a very intelligent man.
Yep. Nikola Tesla, yep.
We have a lot of intelligent people on it. We don't need intelligent life that's non-existent from another planet to come and save us. We can
They may not be from another planet.
You know, by unity, by love, by respecting each other's cultures, we could save ourselves.
Uh-huh. Very true. Let me point one thing out.
For aliens.
Yeah. You know? Just that brings to mind one thing about your upcoming book, Angels on My Stage. you might find my experience interesting. My last book was Turning Home, God, Ghosts, and Human Destiny. And one of them, I deal with all kinds of things in there, but one of the points I try and make is what you've said, that religion is not necessarily the way to God, okay? And I was astounded, I was shocked at how popular the book was among, or is, among priests and nuns. And some of my biggest fans are clergy. I expected them to be outraged. So and maybe you won't annoy them as much as you expect to with your book.
I will, believe me. I attack religion with a vengeance, because you know what? People are, right now, the majority of people, they're jumping from religion to mediums to psychics back to a different religion, then onto a different religion. It's like a little cycle, you know, because they're trying to find the truth. They're trying to find the meaning of life. Life,
like a spiritual smorgasbord.
You feel it, you are it.
Yeah. No, you're true. It's like a spiritual smorgasbord. They're jumping from one thing to another in certain cultures. Now, at the same time, the Muslim religion seems to be getting stronger. Nobody seems to be among them seems to be jumping from one to another. It seems to be in certain areas of the world where you have, I suppose, very often the so-called developed countries. But you know what I mean. Okay, let me ask you.
In the countries like America and in Europe and all of that, you always have somebody that comes up with a new religion, like Michael Beckwith, Scientology, and people want to get on the bandwagon. He's right.
Well,
he's right. Yeah,
yeah,
he must be right.
Yeah.
And eventually,
you're right.
4 or 5 years on the road, they find him out.
Uh huh. Well, here in New England, it's been an old tradition to found new religions, and there were some really strange ones in the colonial times and before that, but that's not what we're talking about. But yeah, people seem to like to do that in the society. Let me ask you, I think you've answered this in a way, but I'm interested in finding out more about how your experiences, especially the haunting and what happened with your son, affected your creative life in general, as a composer and musician. And you said you'll get up and you feel inspired to write what you write. But it must be deeper than that. I know that the words we use are really not up to actually talking about these things. And I know that I'm asking you to describe the indescribable. But there must be some very deep effects on your whole creative life, your whole inspiration, as a result of your experiences, especially with angels. Can you talk a little more about that?
You know what? I reinvented my music, okay? I was doing Latin rock jazz before, and now I'm doing world music. It made me reinvent not only my music, but my spirituality.
Uh-huh.
Especially after I came out of the coma, okay? And I fought more with common sense. You know, and I always went back to people like even Houdini, who after his mother passed away, he went from mediums to psychics trying to make contact with his mother, and along the way, he was debunking them, too.
Yeah, right.
And there's not a medium or a psychic out there that can tell me they are real. And you know what? They've all avoided me. Sylvia Brown, James von Prague, all the big chip, whatever, coffee. They've all avoided me because they know I will debunk them. Chaps, the ghost hunters, all their guns, ghost hunting shows that they had, they were all fake. They would hear noise. Oh my God, that could be. And you know what? When I confronted Taps, they didn't want to deal with me because I could debunk them. You know, a ghost hunting group that goes into a house and they say, yeah, this house is haunted. Well, they can't get rid of the spirit. They can't get rid of the demon. They can't get rid of nothing in there.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? How do you explain being able to see something, and then not being able to get rid of it, and being what you call yourself, you know, into the paranormal or an expert?
Yeah.
You know, show me an expert. An expert, you see a demon, an expert will say, well, let's get rid of it.
Yeah. Well, there's an old saying: there aren't any paranormal experts, just people with interesting theories, you know. But I hear what you're saying. I have my own opinions on all those subjects too. I sometimes find myself being avoided, or seemingly so anyway. But anyway, nevertheless, I thank you for that answer.
Yeah, what are you working on now? Like, tell us about your CDs and books and stuff.
Yeah, give us a list of your CDs, and we're interested in what you're working on now. You already mentioned your next book.
Well, my book, Angels on My Stage, will be out in a few months. My CD, Visions of Angels comes out on September 1st. That's a couple of days from now, right?
Yep, and that's our gift tonight to whoever wins our contest.
Yeah. And right. you know what? My last CD from last year, and Love Is Never Say Goodbye, it's a beautiful CD also. Mm-hmm. And it's still available, and I got picked up by a major company, record company.
Yeah.
And they wanted me to stick to the spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I talked to them, I said, you know, this is part of my spirituality, and I talk about the paranormal. I talk about religion, and they said, no, we love it. Keep on.
Excellent.
That's good.
Yeah.
You'd never find that in a record company.
Well, maybe today there's such a thirst, as you say, Eddie, for spirituality, and people looking everywhere and anywhere for it. And I can see where record companies would be more open than they used to be, perhaps.
You know what's the first step to acquiring faith?
What's that?
That was
creepy. Walk out in the street one morning, take a walk. When you see a stranger, smile at them. When they smile back at you, you tell them good morning. And that's going to set the tone for the rest of your day. You're going to feel good.
Oh, you're so right. So will they. I always tell my sons, I said, if you can make anyone just bring a smile to their face or a warm feeling to their heart, you've had a successful day already.
And
you know,
that's the beginning of faith.
Yep. No, I agree. Okay. Eddie, I'm going to give you the last word here. Now, we have a lot of interesting people who listen to our show. We've got almost a million hits on our website, so people are going to hear you. And what last thoughts would you leave us with today?
Well, the only thing I can say is, you know, becoming oneness with God. You don't have to be religious and be preaching 24 hours a day or praying 24 hours a day. There's only one prayer, and that's the prayer Jesus taught, which is the Our Father. Any other thing is bogus. Any other prayer was created by man. The Catholic Church, they make humans into saints. They don't have the authority to say so-and-so is a saint. Just have faith in Jesus and God. You know what? God never said you can't have fun either.
Mm-hmm.
So go out there and have fun in life. Enjoy life. Be friends with your neighbor. Talk to people. You know, always have your heart warm and love in you. Express it to everybody else, in your family, friends, and your enemies. And you know what? Life is going to be great. You know, if you get sick, just ask God to give you the strength to deal with your illness. Don't ask Him for wealth, for health. Just ask Him for strength. Everything else, God will give you.
Very good. Okay, Eddie, I want to thank you for being with us tonight. Today, I should say, it's a real honor. And we wish you many blessings to you and your family in the future. And we'll look forward to the debut of your new CD, Visions of Angels, in a few days.
Thank you very much, and God bless.
And you. Okay. Okay, folks, Behind the Paranormal with Paul and Van Eno. That was Eddie Benitez, a legendary jazz guitarist, of course, and very interesting points of view on the paranormal and some interesting experiences as well. I'm going to repeat our question for the week here, our contest question, and that will apply to tonight's show on our AM station as well. And, Ben, if you would.
Our question for today is, what creature was reported seen in Loveland, Ohio, in May 1955. Call us at 888-235-7374, or quick message us from your computer screen. If there's no winner during the show and you still think you have a shot, drop me a line at ben@behindtheparanormal.com. If you get it right, you win a copy of Visions of Angels, the new CD from today's guest.
Okay, and we're going to use the rest of the show here, or some of the rest of the show, to do some of the emails that pile up around here. We had lost approximately 3,212 emails that came in, or I should say exactly that number, after my Coast to Coast appearance in June, and they were lost, and some have been recovered, and I don't understand what's going on here, but there are a few. Anyway, I want to read one here. This is from, or do you want to read it? It's from Bridget in Flushing, New York. Okay.
Because now you have your voice back, you can exercise it.
Yes, that's right. Ben stood by me and was a wonderful comfort when I had no voice over the last few weeks doing TV and radio shows, and he was able to get us through it. Hello, Mr. Eno. To be quite frank, sir, I don't believe in ghosts. At least I didn't think I did until this morning when I woke up to an apparition so strong I was positive that it was someone who had broken into my apartment. You know I live in New York City when you're more afraid of leaving the door open than of the supernatural. Since I'm admittedly a skeptic, first, I want to do some research to determine whether it is a ghost or not, or simply a trick of my imagination. I would like to try and find out more about the ghost. I've already read your article that does not recommend Ouija boards and seances, so I was wondering what you would suggest as a starting point to finding out more. Okay, you're asking a lot here, Bridget, because I don't think you realize how much you're asking. And what I'm going to tell you is, first of all, forget all the assumptions. You're assuming that what you're seeing is a spirit. You're assuming that a ghost is a spirit, okay? I go on and on all the time about forgetting the assumptions. We really don't know much about these things because I was not present when you had this experience. I will say that a couple of things stand out in your email. You had just awakened. When we are between sleep and waking, I get a little bit suspicious about the experiences that occur at that time. We are very, very susceptible to all sorts of stimuli and influences, among them psychic stimuli. You are aware of things and voices and worlds and people whom you are not generally aware of when your mind is otherwise occupied during the day. And I'm talking about, of course, this period between waking and sleeping. So what you saw when you woke up, you say, was very strong. So I suppose, to give you the benefit of the doubt, you were there and I was not. We'll say that you did see something out of the ordinary. Okay, you thought there was someone who had broken into your apartment. That gives me the impression that you saw a solid figure, not a mist or a transparent figure or this sort of thing. Okay, you are a skeptic, which gives it even more credibility in my book. And you want to find out whether it was a ghost or not. I don't know how you're going to do that. If you are without making more assumptions, people will say, aha, I saw a ghost. I'm going to look back in the history of the house and find out if anybody looked like that. And you might very well find some old pictures, say in your attic or something, that the family left there when they moved or whatever situation you have. And you might very well find a picture of the person you saw. Okay. Does that mean that that is the spirit of this person who died? Well, I don't think you can assume that. I don't believe in spirits of the dead because I don't believe in death. I've seen too much and I think learned too much over the last 40 years of researching this stuff to really believe that. I think what you're dealing with may very well be the actual person seen across the boundary of time, if you want to say, or multiple worlds, or however you want to put it. Again, our language isn't quite up to it. So I don't think you can assume it is a ghost or a spirit. If you don't find such a photograph, say, you might be dealing with someone who just didn't have his picture taken, or you might be dealing with someone from the future. Because time, past, present, future exists all at once, according to most interpretations of modern physics. Okay? Now, again, so good luck trying to find out more about this ghost. I've already read your article. It does not recommend Ouija boards and seances, and I will second that one. I have seen more trouble resulting from people using seances and Ouija boards than from probably anything else. Why? Well, Ouija boards essentially and seances both do one thing. They use the power of our minds to punch holes in space-time. Okay, this is Einstein's term for how things really are. Space and time interacting, being the same thing, time not really existing except as a function of our consciousness, et cetera, et cetera. So as a result, you mess with it and you kind of don't know what you're going to get. Not to mention the fact that when you're doing these things, you're ringing the dinner bell for what we refer to so frequently as parasites. Non-human entities, despite what our guests might think tonight, who come in and will feed upon your negative energy. Okay, you don't want that either. So you're very right to stay away from those practices. So, your final sentence, your final phrase, so I was wondering what you would suggest as a starting point to finding out more. All right. I would say start with yourself. Sit down, quiet your mind, and get a pad of paper and a pencil and write down what you might think are impressions or previous experiences that you might have just ignored that might have to do with something going on in this house. It's not that the house may have something going on. The entire planet has things going on all the time, but we just don't notice most of them. Make a list of experiences that might have been a little bit strange, a little bit out of the ordinary. For example, did you put your keys down on a table at any point and turn around and they were gone? Did you see someone outside your house, say even just walking by, and you look back and they were gone? Things like this that might not seem related. Do you have, how did Ghostbusters put it? Do you have feelings of dread in your attic or basement?
I mean, there
are reasons for things like that. Has anyone who lived in the house previous to you had issues of any kind? Photography with faces coming out or when any
is
of these
something
things.
Strange in your neighborhood.
That sort of thing, yeah. So make a list of things that might be a little bit strange. You might find a pattern. We have often been had amazement expressed about our cases because some of the cases go on for years. We don't mess around. If we choose to take a case, we will pursue it until we find everything we can wring out of it, all the information we possibly can, all the experiences, all the people who've had anything happen, until we find some kind of pattern. And we often find it, well, several years after we've started the case. So start to do that. Start to look for a pattern. And I'd say that is your starting point, as you asked for. Keep in touch and let us know how it goes, especially if you have any more obvious manifestations of that kind, Bridget. Ben, do you have anything to add?
No, you pretty much nailed everything.
Okay.
You just, like, it was like laying down a carpet.
Well, it's nice to have a teenager. Yeah, nice to have a teenager say that to his father. Nailed it. Okay. All right. Now, I think we have we're having a show, I believe it's on the 25th of September, that's going to be one of our, as we call it, if you think you've heard everything, you haven't. And that's when I go into some of the really serious emails we've received from people. And I assure you, there are going to be things that you just have never heard before in many cases and that are really strange. And that's when we deal with that sort of thing. So I'd like to start here. I know we have a break coming up. But I'd like to start with some excellent, excellent questions we have received. And this one is about creating a ghost. And this is an interesting subject that I think can lead into a lot of trouble. So I'm going to start reading this. It's rather long, and we'll certainly have time in our final half hour to finish it. This is from Ken, and I does not say where Ken is from, but he wrote a lengthy response. Oh, no, actually, he's in Annandale, Virginia. And Ken wrote a response to something I had sent to him about his question about creating a ghost. Dear Paul, I was really thrilled that you were able to find the time to respond to my email. Most kind of you, so thanks much. Glad to hear, though not all that surprised, that you are aware of Philip. Now, in case you don't know who Philip was, there was a group of students who set out to – psychology students who set out to literally see if they could create a ghost. They came up with a story of a fellow named Philip, and they were able to have a seance, and they had decided his life story and what he looked like. They even drew pictures of him, incidents in his life, how he died, and they wanted to see if they would get a response during the seance. Obviously,
and they did.
And they did. This is in the early 1970s. I believe it was 1972. I had just started out in paranormal research, and I followed this through the college grapevine, so to speak. And I was rather horrified to find that, as Ben said, they did get results. This entity, who seemed to be exactly what they said he was, even, you know, looked like him, came through and was able to respond to their questions and do everything that a so-called entity spirit would do during a seance if you buy that stuff. Now, this got complicated, and I want to go through here some of the things not only that happened there, but also to comment on this, because this fellow wants to recreate.
Too bad we have our break in like 30 seconds.
We're coming up, yeah. But this fella here, Ken, wants to recreate this experiment, and I want to respond to his desire to do so. Anyway, return very shortly after the break. Behind the Paranormal with Paul and Ben Eno.
Stay with us.
Hi, folks. This is Paul Eno, co-host of Behind the Paranormal here on Achieve Radio. We're very pleased to have as our sponsor New River Press and Barking Cat Books, publishers of some of the most unusual New Age titles on the market today. Along with four books by moi, New River Press offers the blockbuster on animal communication, Hear All Creatures, The Journey of an Animal Communicator by Karen Anderson, Shadows on My Shift, Real Life Stories of a Psychic EMT by psychic medium Sherry Lee Devereaux, Achieve Radio talk show host of Opening Your Intuitive Eyes, and in a true story that will break your heart with its beauty, especially if you've ever lost a child, there's 41 Signs of Hope by Dave Kane, about the ongoing love and communication between a father and a mother and their son, youngest victim of the 2003 nightclub fire in Rhode Island. Finally, from Barking Cat Books, don't miss the action adventure that spans a thousand years, Heaven's Wave, a novel of the doomsday prophecy of 2012 by D'Urlon. Visit NewRiverPress.com, BarkingCatBooks.com, Amazon.com, or your favorite bookstore.
I'm Alec Baldwin. Like any parent, I'm concerned about children's health. Many kids don't eat as they should and are at risk for long-term health problems like diabetes and heart disease. But here's good news. Fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and other low-fat vegetarian foods can protect our kids and keep the rest of the family healthy, too. For a free booklet, call the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine at 1-877-685-KIDS or visit www.kidsgethealthy.org.
Hi, my name's Jack, and I'm an avid listener of Cash Flow with James Martinez. The global financial crisis is changing the world as we know it. If you've struggled for years trying to resolve your alleged credit card debt, I want you now to imagine your own personal financial freedom. The famous philosopher Lao Tzu once said, "A journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step." Take your first step in a new direction and notice how good it feels. Remember, life gets better when you're headed in a new direction, and your new direction is freedom from credit card debt. Please call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655.
From the beginning of time, man has sought always to achieve more. And finally, we have AchieveRadio.com, the positive side of broadcasting.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Behind the Paranormal with Paul and Ben Eno. We are currently going through some of our emails, and we have a fascinating one here from Ken in Annandale, Virginia, who's talking about recreating the Philip experiment, which is simply inventing a story about an entity and then having a seance to see if the thing materializes. And it did in the Philip case in Canada in 1972. But first, Eileen from Pennsylvania has written in an answer, a suggested answer to our question, what creature was reported seen in Loveland, Ohio in 1955? And Eileen suggests Sasquatch, and that is not correct, I'm afraid, Eileen. It was a much more specific cryptid, and we do invite you to try again. Loveland, Ohio, 1955. Okay, and I'm reading the letter from Ken in Annandale, Pennsylvania here, in which he's describing what he's trying to do in recreating the Philip experiment, which, as we just said, was a bunch of students who got together and invented I believe it was a 16th century courtly gentleman who simply made up. And they actually got results through seances, and this same person they made up apparently, at least to them, manifested and was quite an interesting result. And anyway, Ken writes, I am currently recreating the Philip experiment, but with a bit of a twist. I am searching out likely candidates and sending mysterious testaments written on aged hotel letterhead. The spirit who is to be conjured has long since died and has left work undone. He was a psychic in life. And remember, this is all made up. With some remarkable abilities, presumably due in large measure to his mostly reformed gypsy parents, a nod to the gypsy element in the Philip tale. He writes his fascinating, beautiful, inspiring, and ultimately tragic story for whichever soul might find it and conjure him with a specific incantation and for, excuse me, and for morally acceptable depravity. I'm sorry, morally acceptable reasons. Morally acceptable depravity. Personal gain is fine, especially if it involves gambling, providing it does not degrade into depravity. All right. But injury of any other person is not. Nate is not perfect, but he is absolutely trustworthy. He liked strong drink and the company of beautiful women, but he was himself a minister after a fashion and quite celibate. He was wealthy from a gold strike, which resulted in the untimely death of his parents, was a gambler, and definitely enjoyed a degree of finery, but would and did give nearly everything to the poor, to whom he ministered as a missionary for so many of his years on earth. His code of ethics was curious, but clear and unbending. Well, that sounds like an interesting personality type. Well, I'll continue. His shame, and again, this figure is completely made up. His shame and reason for returning, presumably as a ghost, was to help as many people as possible in death for as long as he is able, so that he might amend for allowing himself to be forced into retirement by a cutthroat band of South American underworld thugs in later years. He died quietly in his Washington hotel and was buried in Virginia Beach thanks to his loose association with Casey's ARE. That's Edgar Casey's. Okay, Edgar Casey, the so-called sleeping prophet, who had the headquarters in Virginia Beach. I won't be saying anything about the experiment, and this, of course, is Ken writing here, some soft probing to see who bites and what happens. The instructions for manifesting are made crystal clear. The acceptable uses of his considerable power, presumably this Nate's, and the way in which to identify him by his strict ethical code, by the deeds you shall know them, quote unquote. I may at some point serendipitously draw some of these folks together to see what they could do as a group. If you like, I'll be happy to keep you updated. Thanks again, Paul. Well, Ken, I'd very much like you to keep me updated. However, I would be extremely cautious with this entire experiment. What I think happened in the Philip experiment, and again, to repeat, that was just a group of college students who literally got together and made up somebody, drew his picture, planned out his whole life and how he died and the whole business, and then conjured him up in a seance. And it worked, apparently. That has been done before, so this would not be the first time that's been recreated. In another case, also in Canada, a female entity was produced who could actually be photographed. And if I can find a copy of that photograph, I'll put it up on our Talking Points page. But I have seen it, and I knew one or two of the people who were involved. What I think is happening here, and of course, Ben and I tend to be voices crying in the wilderness, is that parasites, entities, are, in the same way as they would with a seance or with a Ouija board, having the dinner bell rung for them, happen to notice that you notice them, and sort of zoom in and assume whatever shape it takes to get whatever they can eat from you, which is in the case of people who are doing this stuff, negative energy or energy of any kind, and much in the same way that an insect that mimics other insects would do this. Remember that parasites and everything in the paranormal is just part of nature. It's a part of nature we're not used to dealing with. And these things will do whatever it takes to eat, just like an insect or an animal or anything else. And I think that's what you're dealing with here. I don't think that you are creating any sort of spirit. I think that you are creating problems. So I'm going to warn Ken that he should back off this, but if he does not, I'd like to be kept informed about how it happens and what's going on and this sort of thing. Now we have another attempt at our contest here, and it's Eileen again from Pennsylvania. What do you think, Ben? You're getting a little closer this time, huh?
Yeah.
She says, a reptilian anomaly. And again, the question was, what creature was reported seen in Loveland, Ohio in 1955? Huh, reptilian anomaly.
That could just give it to her, because that's like the
closest. Well, I don't know. I mean, was it a reptile or an amphibian? All right. I think let's be forthright and magnanimous and nice about this. Right? Let's give it to Eileen. And Eileen, I think what we're dealing with here is what was actually called the Frogman of Loveland, Ohio. Okay. She got it. Okay.
There does the charm.
That's right. You got it. The Frogman of Loveland, Ohio, and you typed that much faster than you could have if you just heard me say it. So you got it fair and square, Eileen.
Oh, God. Just typed it in like right there. As we're about to shut her down, then bam.
No. We were going to give it to her anyway. Very, very good, Eileen. And the answer, of course, was the Frogman of Loveland, Ohio, reported in 1955 by police officers, actually, who saw it on at least two occasions, maybe more.
Excellent.
So, interesting cryptozoological event. And Eileen, if you would send us, please, your mailing address, and that would be to ben@behindtheparanormal.com. Sometime during the week, we will see that you receive a CD, Visions of Angels, by our guest tonight, Eddie Benitez, the legendary guitarist and interesting chap when it comes to the paranormal. And we'll see that you get that. And bear in mind, it does not come out until Tuesday, so be patient, but you will receive it. Okay, thank you very much, Eileen. And we're going to move on a little bit here. I've got, what do you say, Ben? Should we do a little bit of a report on our ongoing Connecticut case?
Make me sound like Howdy Doody.
I know. The reason is because you haven't seen this report, actually.
No.
And if I can find it here, we can do it. This case has to do with...
Wait, which case is it?
It's the... the case in Connecticut that has to do with the... We started in 05 researching it as a ghost case, and it has turned into something of a UFO case as well. And I don't think... I don't have the thing in front of me here. I apologize for that. We'll have to do it next week.
Yeah,
well, in any case...
Yep, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay,
Is there updates on it?
Oh, here it is. Okay. A report from our Connecticut. Yes, this is dated August 21st, so it's only really a week ago or so. And this is from Donna, who has been a guest on the show several times. And this particular house, in our opinion and in our version of the paranormal descriptions here, is a crossroads of the multiverse. All sorts of things, creatures, people, sounds are apprehended in this place, and a lot of them don't seem to be related. And the reason that we were contacted on this was because they read my 2002 book, Footsteps in the Attic, and were convinced that multiverse realities were taking place here, and that it was a lot more than just spirits and all these other theories that we think just don't do it when it comes to the paranormal. So here's this is from Donna, a bit of a report, and Donna writes, "Hi, I figured I'd write this one to you that just happened, and things are happening all the time at this house. My daughter was sitting in her chair in the corner of the large staircase reading a carousel book." The daughter builds beautiful carousel horses, by the way. It's quite an interest. That's why in the photographs on the Ghosts of Connecticut page, you'll see some lovely carousel horses in the pictures. Anyway, she was reading a book about that and was bemused at how her son, my grandson, was tossing his toys out into the upstairs hall from his playroom. Toys were being tossed into the hall. She could hear them as some rolled and others landed. She opened the door between her living room and my dining room. They have the house fixed up sort of as a duplex, the Dutch door, and started to make a comment. She said, "He's making a huge mess up," and then she stopped. He was playing on my dining room floor quietly with a truck and had not moved from that area for almost a half hour. She said there was a lot of movement, noises such as clattering and rustling up above her. "I am going to get batteries for my tape recorder tomorrow and put them out during the night to see if I can capture anything voice-wise, a la EVP or electronic voice phenomena here," which is something that may or may not have too much value. "I have a collection of tapes that I need to sort through that contain the children repeating my words." There are a lot of children seemingly in this house. Apparently the entire six generations of the family who lived in this house still lives in the house, usually with some sort of peaceful coexistence. But there are a lot of times when things like this will happen. Donna reported having sneezed, and some voice of a child sometimes or someone else will say, God bless you. Things like that. So that's what goes on. Ben and I have been in this house, of course, before, and as part of our investigation, and have felt people passing behind us. There are several rooms in which we became dizzy, you'd really say, which is a sign of tremendous energy. And recently, it has turned into a sort of UFO case as well in this general vicinity, and a gray was reportedly photographed in this house as well, and we're waiting to see that and to have it looked at by experts. Okay, God bless you after I sneeze. Donna continues to write and other wonderful stuff. I asked my daughter if I could put one, I guess meaning a tape recorder, in her room, but she said that she didn't want to hear what was what was close to her and it would bother her. Donna is a little bit more at home with this stuff than her daughter is. I will put one in my dining room or the foot of the staircase. Talk to you soon. And we're always glad to hear from Donna because all these amazing things take place in this house, and it is one of the most interesting cases we have ever worked on. Now, we're getting into our final 15 minutes, and we have Eileen from Pennsylvania writing to us once more. Hi, here's my info. Okay, she's just sending us her her address here, and she mentions at the end, by the way, I also think the designer conjured spirit manifestation was an entity parasite taking the requested form. I found even information will take the requested form. That's true, Eileen. I think we often find too that you often hear what they think you expect to hear. And I've often cited examples of me working on cases where the people in the house were absolutely convinced that the entity that was with them was a deceased relative or the deceased previous owner of the house or something like this. And I just didn't get the feeling that it was. And when I went in and made it plain that I didn't think that's what it was and that I didn't believe it was Uncle Steve or whoever, then it has whoever that it immediately changed, very often became hostile, and the things of this kind, and it just didn't hold up. This didn't hold up. That's why I think when you assume these things are telling the truth, you're making a big mistake. And as we said in the beginning when we were talking to Eddie Benitez, that at least in my book, ghosts are guilty until proven innocent, and that nothing in the paranormal is what it appears to be. Here is an interesting email from Leonvi Rajakaruna, if I hope I'm not pronouncing that correctly, in Kandy, Sri Lanka. And Leonvi writes, I too believe in ghosts, but still I haven't got any evidence to prove it. I'm only 12 years old, so no one believes me when I say ghosts do exist. So will you please help me by sending some incidents? Well, I must say, Leonvi, that this brings up the very interesting question of proof, okay? People often say, and even our guest tonight said, if it comes to UFOs or cryptids or whatever, or ghosts he's experienced himself, that he wants to see proof. Well, I mean, what constitutes proof? To me, the best proof is that everybody, everywhere, in previous generations, with a few rare exceptions, believed in the paranormal. They believed in God. That's good enough for me because we are, as I say, the freaks of human history when it comes to philosophy and spirituality. We're the ones with the problem. We're the ones with the weird, materialistic, narrow philosophy that says, well, okay, show my five senses that you exist, Mr. Ghost, all right? Then unless I can taste it, smell it, hear it, feel it, or see it, then it doesn't exist. I think that's baloney. My main skepticism is reserved for science, as we so call it, okay? I have great respect for it, but it is too narrow. The paranormal, as our friend Phil Imbrogno points out when he's on the show, is outside the realm of accepted science. It is beyond the realm of our five senses. Everything in our scientific method and in our scientific disciplines today is pretty much based on our physical senses. That's not good enough. The theories aren't good enough. Science isn't good enough. Religion isn't good enough. Parapsychology isn't good enough. We have to get, as the famous cliche goes, outside the box. Outside the bun, right? What, are we doing commercials here for your favorite place?
No.
Yeah, all right.
I'm just saying. I'm saying.
Well, it is. So I would say, Leonvi, You don't need to prove anything to anybody. They're the ones with the problem. The burden of proof is on the super skeptics. So, as I say, you're the one who's got it on your side as far as proof is concerned. The proof of the ages and pretty much of the entirety of the human witness, if you want to say. Okay. Now, let's take another look here. We've got time, I think, probably for one more. And these are the saddest emails we get, are ones like this. This is a question from Judy B. in Dillsburg, Pennsylvania. And Judy says, I lost my husband in February, and I miss him terribly. We have had some unexplained things happen since his death. I continue and almost feel obsessed with looking for more signs of him being around us. My son claims to have had a very strong dream where his dad said to take over the business. Both my boys quit their jobs and have moved back home and are doing exceptionally well with the business, obviously family business, and started out not knowing a thing about it. I really feel like my husband is guiding them. Sometimes I feel like I am hoping and wishing too hard to see a sign from him. I am planning on seeing another medium soon, and I've also thought about contacting and gives the name of someone here for a phone session. I just really have a need to know that he is okay and still with us in spirit. Well, first of all, Judy, your husband has not gone anywhere. People do not die, not even their bodies. In parallel worlds, we still go on thriving, and in many of these, we are in a state of consciousness where our loved ones still are meaning everything to us, and we still are with him. As far as needing proof that he is still okay and is still with you in spirit, as you say, he's with you in more than that, I think you, the fact that things are going so well, and this thing with the business has gone well, even though your sons didn't know anything about it. I think that's a very good indication that he's guiding you. Certainly, our consciousness will shift from where we are to where we already are in areas where our bodies have not died. Okay, they may not be bodies that look like what we have now. They may not be. We may not have identities that correspond exactly with what we have now, but we always have love. And in that state of love, we're always in touch beyond our own consciousness. And I think that you have no problem here whatsoever and nothing to go. I will comment on the medium issue. There can be problems here when you're dealing with mediums. There are an awful lot of people who set themselves up as experts, as people who are going to help you when you're in a time of grief and need, and some of them are perfectly legitimate. Some have many, many great gifts, but I just am very, very skeptical. Unless I really get to know a medium or a psychic very well, I really am. I do have to give you a word of warning. Why do you need a go-between when that love between you and your husband is still there and your whole family is still together in many, many very real and concrete ways? I don't really think you need to do that. That's my opinion. You know, go ahead and make your own decision. But certainly be careful. Okay. Now, here is I think we probably ought to start closing up because we're coming down to the end of our hour here. Okay, here is here's an interesting one. I guess this is from Veronica in St. Francisville, Louisiana. And I take it Veronica is a she is. She's a registered nurse and a healthcare professional. I think we have enough time. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Hi, Paul. I'm finally listening to the referenced interview. This is, I guess, my Coast to Coast interview recently on the radio, of course, the national radio, because it will soon not be available in the archives, and I'm always playing catch-up. You mentioned schizophrenics. Actually, what I said was looking into the eyes of a schizophrenic when I was a graduate student in abnormal psychology, I often got the impression they knew more than we did and that their condition was actually the ability to see into worlds that really exist that we can't see into and that you wonder who's crazy and who isn't. Anyway, she quotes me as having said, have you ever looked into the eyes of one? And, unquote, you could have said much more, I know. One must be careful when one, what one says when speaking to millions. I'm a retired psychiatric nurse. Schizophrenics were my very favorite patients. In the midst of a mind-boggling, full-blown word salad tirade, they sometimes come out with something spin you around profound, something never before considered, something so remarkable and brilliant that you never forget it. And you never forget the penetrating stare they fix you with while they say it, and the stare that seems not quite as maniacal as usual, along with the tiniest hint of smile of total conviction, of absolute knowing. Thank you for your work. Never stop. And I just have to say that I have addressed groups of psychiatrists on this issue and suggested that maybe these people were experiencing real worlds, not just chemical imbalances in their brains. And holy mackerel, I've gotten some real interesting comments as a result. But when they come up individually and say that, you know, I don't dare say this to you, Paul, in the presence of my colleagues because I'd lose my job, but I've often thought that you might be right. So there we are. Anyway, thank you very much for writing in that, and it's always good to hear from a healthcare professional. Okay. All right, we're winding up our two-hour special here on Behind the Paranormal. We want to thank our wonderful guest, Eddie Benitez, who presented a very traditional point of view that we don't necessarily agree with, but we respect, certainly, and we love his wonderful music as well.
So if you can't get enough of us, tune in to our weekly show tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific on WOON 1240 AM radio in southeastern New England, or online at www.onworldwide.com. At showtime, just click the ON TV icon. Our guest will be Dr. Edgar Mitchell, Apollo 14 astronaut and the sixth man to walk on the moon. We'll be talking about his mystical experiences while in space and his life of paranormal studies and work for human unity ever since.
You know, I'm really anxious to talk to him. I remember when I was a kid and he went to the moon. It was 1971, and I was not much older than you. That was the year I graduated from high school. And I remember that there was talk of him performing an ESP experiment while on the moon, and apparently NASA had a fit. So I want to ask him about that. And I thought that this was really progressive for somebody in that day and age. I was just starting out. I'd been through the initial stages of the Village of Voices case, and boy, that really shook me up. And I thought, this is really cool that an astronaut wanted to do. So tune in tonight, folks, to that. And again, you can also listen to the podcast if you haven't been able to. If you aren't able to listen to us live, certainly look for us back here on Achieve Radio for our two-hour monthly special on Sunday, September 27th, when our good friend Nick Pope will return to talk about his experiences as Great Britain's Fox Mulder.
Or the fictional character played by David Duchovny on The X-Files.
That's right. And last time we had Nick on, Nick is pretty much known as a UFO expert par excellence, and he's often seen on the Discovery Channel, etc. But he also looks into other areas of the paranormal, which he's very seldom asked about on the air, ghosts and cryptids and things of this kind. And his point of view often is kind of similar to ours. And not only did he get to sort of examine all these various areas of the paranormal, but he got paid for it, which a lot of us would like to do. And he was able to sort of really Britain's Fox Mulder. And he was often, you know, kind of joked with by his associates on account of that. And actually, I think that in the meantime, anyway, yeah, we're coming down to the – no more time. We're coming down to the hour here. In the meantime, thank you all for making us apparently one of the most listened to paranormal talk shows in the world. BehindTheParanormal.com is working on a million hits with 5,000 to 6,000 podcast downloads a week according to the system.
And it's all because of you.
That's right. And we always welcome your comments and your suggestions. And again, I'll continue working on all those emails and calls for help. So please be patient. Again, if you think you have a ghost problem, go to, and you have not heard from us, please be patient. There is a questionnaire that is accessible through the NewEnglandGhosts.com site. That's our main site. And look for the link, what to do if you think you have a ghost problem, and that can give you some advice to help at least get you going. We will get to you as soon as we can.
It's just as ridiculous amounts of email.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So fill out the questionnaire on that page. So, many thanks to our producer, Bill Schreiner, and especially after what we've heard tonight, remember the words of the great scientist, Albert Einstein. There are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is a miracle.
See you in 2 hours on the ONWorldwide.com show and 1240 AM radio for those of you who are local. And next month, right here on Achieve Radio, keep your stick on the ice.
Amen. Hi folks, this is Paul Eno, co-host of Behind the Paranormal here on Achieve Radio. We're very pleased to have as our sponsor New River Press and Barking Cat Books, publishers of some of the most unusual New Age titles on the market today. Along with four books by moi, New River Press offers the blockbuster on animal communication, Hear All Creatures, The Journey of an Animal Communicator by Karen Anderson, Shadows on My Shift, Real Life Stories of a Psychic EMT by psychic medium Sherry Lee Devereaux, Achieve Radio talk show host of Opening Your Intuitive Eyes, and in a true story that will break your heart with its beauty, especially if you've ever lost a child, there's 41 Signs of Hope by Dave Kane, about the ongoing love and communication between a father and a mother and their son, youngest victim of the 2003 nightclub fire in Rhode Island. Finally, from Barking Cat Books, don't miss the action adventure that spans 1,000 years, Heaven's Wave, a novel of the doomsday prophecy of 2012 by D'Urlon. Visit NewRiverPress.com, BarkingCatBooks.com, Amazon.com, or your favorite bookstore.
Listening to AchieveRadio.com, a new drummer for a new awakening.